Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I begin my message today, let me first share with you the commission of the ministry. And this was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I have given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. This is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with their heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm going to be speaking about conviction. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Through being born again, you have been chosen for sanctification, which includes conviction and repentance. This can only happen smoothly if Jesus is your first love. You must decide to trust Him completely and not resist conviction. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on page 16, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "You only trust God to the level that you love Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when you love the truth, you also are loving Jesus." Jesus said in John 16, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading John chapter 16 and verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's better for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Verse 8, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment." The Holy Spirit is available to every true disciple through the work of Jesus dying on the cross, so that they could know exactly what God is confirming for them to do and not do. Jesus paid the price so that those following Him could have a personal teacher on truth with an opportunity to be righteous and holy. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on page 16, Joseph Hedgecock writes this, "Allow the Spirit to show you what you should repent of. This includes sins of omission and commission, things that you are not doing that you should be doing, and things that you are doing that you should not be doing. It's very important to process conviction properly through repentance, and repentance should take place in the presence of your Father. Do not be discouraged as you go through this. It is necessary and it's good for you. You should be making a list of your sins, both of things that you failed to do because you are doing something else, and those things you did in direct disobedience to God. Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15 and 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." You disobeyed because you are looking after your own interests and desires. It is important to confess all and to get to the root of sin, as it can grow back. Conviction will help you trace the root of sin. Admit that you are following the dictates of the flesh instead. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." As you confess your sins, you might realize you did things for the love of money. You are a comfortable Christian and you are afraid of suffering. If you're going to follow Christ, then you have to expect a lot of changes. You cannot stay the same and claim you are in Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Your sin list might be long when you start, but it's important to process each sin that is identified through conviction. You cannot do that in one day, so use a notebook. If you do not get to the root of sin, you will not obtain a clear conscience. Paul said in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, "And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." Sin can grow back, so you need to live in the light. As you keep yourself clean, you will have joy. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Verse 5, "And this then is the message which we have heard him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." The light is revelation and truth that comes from the Spirit. You cannot have righteousness and peace with God if you are not living in this light. The darkness represents you using your own mind and making decisions yourself. If you are living in darkness, then you will sin again and again. If you love the truth, you will endure correction and conviction. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he said, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth." Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 1 on page 18, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "His goal is to remove any and every hindrance that keeps you from enjoying consistent fellowship with him. His motive is always love. He convicts you because he loves you, and with conviction he has made the provision for sin and godly sorrow to be removed. He has promised to forgive you when you repent. However, if you do not believe this truth from your heart, you will continue to struggle with condemnation and will have trouble becoming free in your spirit after you have been convicted." John continued by saying in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10, he said, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Verse 9, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If you cannot get back in his presence as soon as you confess your sins, this is a sign that you are not trusting him with all your heart. You may have accepted that he died for your sins the first time to get clean through conviction, but you still think you can do better. You have a false hope in your ability to change yourself, and you may end up resisting conviction and claim that you have not sinned. It is possible to stop sinning, but only when you believe and accept Jesus as Lord. This is the only solution for sin, and that is to make Jesus Lord. Paul said in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. The meaning of Lord in Strong's is number 2962. It is meaning supreme in authority, that is, as in a controller, by implication, somebody who is in authority, either Lord, Master, or Sir. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, but there is something that can separate you from feeling and experiencing his love. We read in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on page 19, Joseph Hedgecock writes, have the same goal he does, which is for you to stay in fellowship with him. Be quick to trust him and obey, especially when it comes to conviction. Become a fast repenter. It is important to understand why conviction is paramount. In the beginning, God is convicting you about sins that move you out of the Spirit. His goal is to do whatever is necessary to bring you closer to him. He wants you to remain in the Spirit and be in a safe environment where you will grow up spiritually. A fast repenter is someone who can go from conviction, open their heart, get corrected without getting under condemnation, and come to repentance. This is only possible in the Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 to 22, I'm reading. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18 says this, for through him we both have access to one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You became a fellow citizen of the kingdom by accepting him as your Lord. Jesus is the cornerstone. It is possible to get to know him now and stay in fellowship with a holy God because of the gift of eternal life, with the Holy Spirit making corrections as you go. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. This is a process, but it starts when you deny yourself completely. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man includes a complete set of emotions and feelings that you need to listen to. God is speaking all the time, so you will never be able to put on that new man if you don't first put off the old nature by denying yourself. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The old feelings will still be there, but you must ignore them. Paul said in Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The word lust in Strong's is number 1939. Take from another word, it means longing. It means desire or lust. You must ignore these desires that come from your feelings and emotions and let him be Lord and direct your paths. Paul said in Psalms 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You can only have a fulfilled life by following the Lord. There is fullness of joy in his presence. And in his right hand, serving him, you get the greatest pleasure in this life and achieve your full potential. Only he knows what you are really capable of. You can even be at his right hand now by grace. Let him use you for his glory and live in his kingdom now. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 in verse 17, I'm reading, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's important for you to experience this for yourself. Many do not believe. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Following the Lord, you will experience joy, even in many challenging situations. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. You are missing out by so much by closing your heart to God. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on page 19 and 20, Joseph Hedgecott writes, you should embrace the work of conviction and repentance. Embracing conviction will produce the greatest amount of fruit in the shortest amount of time. Each time you are convicted, a hindrance to your spiritual walk and maturity has been identified. Each one is a reason why you do not stay in the Spirit consistently. Conviction is an alarm to warn you that it's time to deal with a specific issue. Instead of viewing this as a negative experience from a fleshly point of view, look at it from God's perspective. He convicts you so you can repent and remove another sin that hinders you from walking closely with him. He does this because he loves you so much and does not want anything to separate you from fellowship with him. Conviction is a blessing. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but what a wonderful internal fruit it produces. If you think about it, you will realize the negative feelings of conviction is merely your flesh reacting because it doesn't want to die. Conviction is an invitation to a better life without any breakdowns or further consequences from sin through repentance. Paul explained in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You will no longer reap the misery of serving the flesh and the devil by serving the Spirit. conviction is the sign that God is making a way of escape for you and a promise of eternal life controlled by the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and a few there be that find it. Regular conviction is part of the narrow way. Conviction is a sign that you're about to come off the narrow way. Conviction is like a warning light on your dashboard of your car to say that something needs to be repaired. If repaired within a certain amount of time, there will be no problem. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word sanctified in Strong's is number 37, and it's taken from another word which means to make holy, that is, ceremonially purify or consecrate, mentally even, to make you hallowed, to be holy, or to sanctify. Sanctification is a process of making you holy, and all your inheritance depends on being holy. Paul says in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Conviction is an alarm going off to tell you that the devil is about to break in and steal your spiritual inheritance based on that lack of holiness. There is no grace to continue as you are, and a lack of repentance will result in huge losses. God is calling you to attention. Immediate sanctification is paramount. What is lost now, you will lose for all eternity. Acknowledge that the alarm has gone off and agree that you have sinned against a holy God. Add this to your list of sins. He is Lord now. The path he chose for you is righteousness, and you need to accept it. David said in Psalm 23:3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's important to deny yourself. Only on the narrow path does he restore your soul. Through continuing in his teachings and repentance, you are set free. We read in John 8:31-36. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Conviction is a sign that through repentance you have the opportunity to get free, but not without becoming a disciple. You can only do this by continuing in what he's teaching you through the Spirit. Do not deceive yourself. Some are happy with a few truths, but they do not continue in the word. God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could be faithful to the truth through repentance. Use a notebook. John said to his disciples in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, on page 56, Joseph Hedgecott writes, conviction can also make you lose your peace. So ask the Lord if the troubling in your spirit is because of sin. which he is exposing in you. If that is the case, repent of the sin God is revealing to you, and the Spirit will once again bear witness to the truth. God's peace will also return to rule your heart. Every engineering project has a critical path. If an activity is not on the critical path, then it will not cause a delay to the overall length of the project. However, if a task is on the critical path, it could potentially end up causing a delay to the whole project. If you delay any task long enough, it will end up on the critical path. The peace of God will help you identify the will of God even long before your mind is fully renewed. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." If you want to do the will of God, you have to do things at the right time and keep in step with the Lord. We read in John chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You might have welcomed grace, but resisted the truth because of a bad example. Perhaps there was a time in your life when you were corrected harshly. You might have an unwillingness to let this ever happen again. Do not close your heart to God. In John 1 and 17 it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Conviction is an invitation to repent. Through the smaller sins, you may come out and then get back in. But in that time, you miss something that you should have done because you're in the flesh. Or you miss a detailed part of the plan that you have to do again because you did not have ears to hear. You missed your memo from God or even a special delivery. The devil doesn't mind you visiting the presence of God, as long as you do not abide. The peace of God will help you recognize that you are on track. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and to be ye thankful." It's good to give thanks regularly. Paul said also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Every activity has a set length of time in your calling, unless God makes an exception. There is always time for repentance along the way. Do not avoid this, as it's part of working out your salvation. He can change the time and seasons if you get behind, as he is Lord, but you must listen to him and do the things he says because he's Lord. Do not deceive yourself. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7, we read, this is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not your own understanding." Verse 6, "And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." God has a calling on your life, and he wants you to finish your race in the same way Christ finished his. God knows when things need to be done, even if it seems pointless. You must do whatever he says by the Spirit. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 1, we read, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 1 on page 22, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "If you want to know the Lord intimately, you must learn to listen attentively and be quiet. Many of your spiritual struggles will stop if you simply obey these instructions. Be eager to hear what the Lord says and stop telling Him your preferences and opinions. In the Psalms 46 and 10, it says, "Be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I'll be exalted in the earth." These moments of stillness will help you to hear the truth that will expose lies through the Holy Spirit of truth. James said in James chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we shall be kind of first fruits of his creatures." Verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." If you get angry, then you are going the wrong direction. You have run out of grace and you have tried to manage the situation yourself and are now dealing with many things all at once. If you do not hear his voice, it's because you do not have the grace to hear anymore. The stress that has come from the flesh has also taken away that perfect peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, in chapter 6, on page 70, Joseph Hedgecock speaks about the blessing of conviction. If you are convicted by this message, it's a blessing. Conviction simply means you are being convinced that you have heard truth and it is exposing sin in your life. Somewhere along the way, you have believed a lie from Satan that led you into sin. Even if you did it ignorantly, you should be glad to get rid of all the lies in your life, because lies bring spiritual death. Don't be afraid of truth. Don't try to hide from it. This is like trying to hide from cancer. Everyone knows that cancer can only increase if it's not faced and dealt with. If you ignore the truth that God is revealing to you, you open yourself up to self-deception, which will compound your problems. God doesn't want you to perish. You can enjoy the rest of your life in victory. All you have to do is repent of believing the lies and embrace the truth. Conviction comes when the Spirit uses the truth to expose sin in your life. Truth is light, and light exposes darkness or sin within you. When you are convicted and thoroughly convinced of the lie you have believed, you will feel troubled in your spirit. Your spiritual alarm goes off to warn you that you need to repent. When this happens, acknowledge and renounce the lie you have believed. Accept the truth and turn from what you were doing before. When you repent, the peace of God will return to your heart and you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His corrections and repentance is part of sanctification. Paul said in Romans 2 and 4, he said, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" The plan is that through truth you will become a new creation. John said in John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The Jews would not receive Jesus when he came. However, by accepting Jesus as Lord of your life, he authorizes everything you need to become a son of God and to rule and reign when you believe on his name. This is a work that is done by coming into the light and letting him change you into whatever he planned from the beginning. We have to believe that what God started, he will finish. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and 15. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it's still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Verse 15, while it is said, today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Paul said that we can be partakers of Christ if we maintain that confidence we had at salvation based on conviction and repentance. If God has made us aware of sin, then by faith he will help us get to the root. Today, many do not believe in a salvation that's based on being obedient through hearing and obeying the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you? You now have a choice to accept conviction and become like Christ, hear his voice and do his perfect will, or serve sin and the devil through the dictates of the flesh. There are only two choices. Noah Webster in 1828 defined conviction as the act of convincing or compelling one to admit the truth of a charge, the act of convincing of sin or sinfulness, the state of being convinced or convicted by conscience, the state of being sensible of guilt, as the convictions of a sinner may be temporary or lasting and efficacious. By conviction, a sinner is brought to repentance. Men often sin against the conviction of their own consciences. The phrase to convince in Strong's is number 1651. It's of a certain affinity. It means to confute or admonish, to convict, or to convince or tell a fault, to rebuke or reprove. The word condemnation in Strong's is number 2632. It means to judge against, that is, sentence, condemn, or damn. You have to stay in Christ if you want to avoid condemnation. If you follow the dictates of the flesh, you will experience condemnation. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Condemnation does not get you out of his presence. It is a sign you're already out. You had to get out first to experience condemnation. You chose to listen to your feelings and your emotions rather than the truth. You chose to get out by resisting the conviction. You listened to your own mind, analyze the situation, and now defend yourself based on how you feel. We must deny ourselves. We follow Christ's example. Not even death is a boundary for those who are following Christ and called to serve. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 to 10. I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. The devil has made some believers so comfortable they do not even know the difference between conviction and condemnation. And through ignorance, they resist conviction and never grow up. David said in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jesus is the perfect example for the whole world. Jesus conquered the grave. His life brought glory to God and the Father because he was steadfast. Jesus won the victory over the grave. It was not fair that he took our sins and diseases because he never sinned. He always did the right thing by listening to his Father through the Holy Spirit. We can read about Jesus in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 3 and 4. It says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Verse 4. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Jesus was a man of sorrows, many challenges, and acquainted with grief, but he was always happy. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read, this is Hebrews chapter 12, I'm starting in verse 2 and I'm reading to verse 4. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied in your minds." Verse 4. "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Do not try to work it out in your mind. It will become weary. Use a notebook to record small issues as they come up. The devil's tactic is to get you weary and to lose your joy through small sins before you finally face a big temptation. Jesus overcame with joy. And if you want to have the victory over sin, you have to stay in his presence. And that means catching those smaller sins too, through conviction. If you reject conviction, you will fail in your calling. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 2, on pages 37 and 38, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Remember, God authorizes you to be free from everything that the Spirit convicts you about. In other words, you are anointed to deal with each issue he reveals. The Spirit will move on you and instruct you about how to process each conviction until it is no longer a problem for you. As you go through the book and make a note for each thing you are convicted about, do not get discouraged. Be encouraged. Every one of these reasons you remove through repentance will bring you closer to the goal God has set for you. God already knows every detail about what he is exposing before you even recognized it, and he still loves you. He also knows about every sin he has not yet revealed, and none of these things cause his love for you to waver. Do not try to fix what your teacher shows you in spiritualized flesh, and do not open the door to condemnation by feeling sorry for yourself. In the beginning, you are simply repenting of each conviction in general and making a note of what you need to process spiritually. Then in your quiet times, be sure you are in the Spirit and bring your notes before the Lord. Go through each page, asking the Spirit if there is revelation on any topic he wants to show you. And as you feel a flow of peace, go page by page and listen to the Spirit as your teacher. You only have to work on the area the Holy Spirit chooses. All other errors are covered by grace until it's time to deal with them. Take some time when it's quiet in the morning, especially when you can just be still and see what he wants to show you. Make sure you are in the Spirit. Confess your sin if necessary. And you should only experience conviction and not condemnation when you read over your list of sins. God may even remind you of more things that are part of the same sin that need correcting. Write them down too. Do not judge yourself or let the devil condemn you through your reasoning. If you are getting frustrated or getting angry, you know you're in the flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." You must not use your mind trying to deal with sin. Set up a notebook with a list of sins. This is so the Holy Spirit can direct you on how to process what he has convicted you of. You must be willing to study whatever the Holy Spirit convicts you of. Truth is rare and the information is valuable. So always have your notebook handy if you want to save your soul. Then you will have quality time for repentance. Jesus said in Mark 4 and verse 9, and he said unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." We need to be in the Spirit. In the book of Isaiah we read, this is Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In the book Light, in the chapter Growing Up Spiritually, on page 111, Joseph Hitchcock says in his book, "When you are convicted about your sin, you feel godly sorrow. And godly sorrow leads to repentance. Godly sorrow is like an alarm God sets off to wake you up to the fact that sin exists in your life. God's motive is not to make you feel bad. He sends conviction so that you will repent of the sin that he has revealed, thereby bringing about freedom and spiritual growth. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring truth. And this exposes lies, but people prefer to have knowledge and do not want that feeling of conviction. This is because the devil has sold them lies based on how they feel." Remember, the Holy Spirit is trying to get us ready. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." When you are convicted of anything, write it down and add it to your sin list. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and are you now made perfect by the flesh?" The Galatians started off in the Spirit, obeying the truth that the Holy Spirit was showing them. They understood by grace through faith. They had a chance to obey the truth by listening to the Holy Spirit. They understood that Christ also denied himself and relied totally on the Spirit. However, they submitted to Jewish traditions instead of enduring the conviction. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now, by the Holy Spirit, you have a direct link to the mind of God. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 4, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Noah Webster in 1828 wrote that the law was for all mankind to obtain true peace and joy while on this earth, but is only a fraction of God's perfect will. But now through the Holy Spirit, you can learn directly from God on any subject related to the kingdom of God without the curse of the law. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." If you do your repentance in the presence of God, then you will also have fullness of joy. Let the word exercise and test and prove the newly found truths. This may result in some more conviction, but it's necessary to test everything. Your life will be founded on these new truths, so any weakness you discover now will ensure that you will win the race of faith unhindered. Paul said in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." God will even help you to come to repentance. We read in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19. It says here, "Come, now let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Verse 19. "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Repentance has some other benefits too. Peter said in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Jesus said he would not leave you comfortless if you follow him. In John 14 and 18, he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Through the Holy Spirit now, Jesus can manifest himself to you when you keep his personal commands for your life out of love. Jesus said in John 14:21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." If you continue in sin, you'll end up in eternal sorrow and death. Jesus said in Luke 6 and 25, "Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 4 on page 61, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "The more thoroughly you accepted the reality of where you were, and the more open you were to the salvation Jesus provided for you, the more dramatic your conversion experience was. It is tragic to have a mild conversion. If you experienced deep conviction, you also enjoyed great relief when you were saved. The emotional relief from confessing your sins helps you recognize the work of sanctification based on grace and truth. Through repentance, you will have more and more of the righteousness of God. Do not be jealous of those who had a more dramatic conversion that are now on fire for God. You also can ask God to show you how filthy you are at any time." Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Verse 11, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." Verse 12, "They are all gone out of their way, and they are together become unprofitable, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one." You cannot get very far without being part of the body of Christ. This also requires being submitted to those who are over you in the Lord. You will get more conviction. If you want more conviction, submit to somebody else who is following Christ, denying themselves and taking up their cross daily. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 16, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." In Philippians 3 and 17, he says, "Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as we have us as an example." Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29, he said, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." You need to recognize and honor those God uses to correct you. This is part of discerning the Lord's body. His body includes all those in the body of Christ who have paid a price to follow Christ. Not everyone who is born again is part of the body of Christ. We recognize the true leaders by the fact that they can deliver a strong, uncomfortable message that brings conviction, because this is a work of the Holy Spirit, not of man. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, "How that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, even as we know what manner of men we showed ourselves towards you for your sake." Every message you hear needs to be touching your heart, not your mind. When Paul preached, he relied on the Holy Spirit and his power to do this work. He did not use his own mind. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 4, he said, "Though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we are also weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you." God was using Paul to correct those who were under him. He was weak, but God showed himself strong as he served his people. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, "And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." The results of Paul's preaching is that the Holy Spirit produced a variety of emotions. Most preaching only uses natural statements to entice or persuade. The word persuasive in Strong's is number 3982. It means to convince by an argument, true or false, by analogy, or to pacify, or to conciliate, reflectively or passively, to assent, to provide some evidence. Paul was not speaking like a politician, with vain promises and logical arguments, even with those who were carnal like the Corinthians. Instead, he spoke as the Spirit led him and trusted God to bring about conviction and holy emotions, stirring in the people to make them feel uncomfortable. Paul did not see this as negative. Any negative feelings towards conviction is merely your flesh reacting because it doesn't want to die. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, in the Amplified Bible, we read, "And my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, proof by the Spirit and power of God operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them." Paul was not requiring signs and wonders to confirm his preaching, but rather conviction was the confirmation that God had used him to some measure. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 7, he said, "Consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. If you are submitted unto someone who is really following Jesus, you will get understanding in all areas. False teachers will tell you that you can understand the things of God using your mind because you are born again. Those who have been to Bible college establish doctrine and study the scriptures with the same methods of study as the world." Jesus said in John 5 and 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The knowledge of the scriptures will not save you." Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, he said, "Who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." By reading the pages of the written word, the whole Bible, you can experience conviction. This conviction comes from a specific word that is applied to you by the Spirit. Every page in the Bible is written with a purpose in mind. Scholars believe that if you faithfully study the context and get this right, that you can eventually make up some principles that you use in every situation. I call this the doctrines of men, because they do not rely on the Spirit, but rather on man's private interpretation of Scripture. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, knowing this then, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. If you repent of whatever the Holy Spirit directs by faith, and through repentance produce the fruit of the Spirit, you will bring glory to the Father. You are not working, but listening and obeying. Paul said in Romans 4 and 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In the book Light, in the chapter on how we grow spiritually, on page 111, Joseph Hedgecock writes, you know the truth when you have ears to hear the word, receive the spiritual food God is giving you. The truth then sets you free from the sin. When you repent and are set free, Satan has no opportunity to bring condemnation to you. If you want to grow spiritually, you should seek for truth that causes your conviction alarm to sound as quickly and as often as possible. The more you process conviction through repentance that is followed by obedience, the faster you will grow. If you focus on the godly sorrow alone and resist the truth because you are uncomfortable, you won't grow. Repentance is the only avenue God has made available for change and spiritual growth to occur. Are you easily tempted by knowledge? The devil might tempt you with his version of the Bible that includes knowledge with no conviction, but this is a trap. Those on the broad way seek knowledge and wisdom, but they are not willing to endure correction or pay the price to abide in his presence and deal with the flesh. They say there are different ways of looking at things and mix truth with natural wisdom to fill in huge gaps in their partially completed puzzle of false doctrines. You cannot come to truth without being in the Spirit. And to be in the Spirit, you have to endure and develop a taste for conviction and repentance. Revelation and knowledge without conviction and repentance leads to pride. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Conviction will ensure you work on what you need to work on now, because it identifies what is priority. Something else is just works. Through correction and conviction, you will get eyes to see more. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says this, for ye walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. The regulator is the Holy Spirit. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 6, on page 95, Joseph Hedgecock writes, conviction is one of the most important gifts you receive from God. Conviction and repentance allow you to come into the presence of your Father. If you do not see this as a gift, you must look at your heart. Do you get offended or hurt when you are convicted? If you do, your flesh is reacting rather than your spirit. Your eternal spirit loves to be in fellowship with God. You need to examine how you react when you are convicted. Your reaction shows whether you are in the flesh or in the spirit. The flesh will try to avoid the uncomfortable feelings that are necessary for conviction and true repentance. You may have been harshly corrected in the past from parents or someone else. Some are always trying to be perfect, so they never get corrected. Through a fear of failure or correction, people strive to be perfect. Do not let this affect your relationship with God, as you will avoid the correction you so desperately need to grow spiritually. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11, 12, and 13. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now no chastening, for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. The peaceable fruit of righteousness is also the evidence that you have repented, just like at salvation when you got some relief after you confess your sins. Up to that time, you will experience godly sorrow, and your strength may fade a little bit if you are being corrected all the time and come out of His presence. But do not lose faith. We read in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8 and verse 10, Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord comes from His presence. You get your strength when you have confessed your sins and accepted the correction of the Lord. We read in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. There are other ways you might be avoiding correction and conviction. You might seek knowledge just to understand, but you cannot do this with the carnal mind. Instead, you'll end up believing things that will hinder you from knowing what you need to know. You may even learn what is available in Christ. But if you do not abide in Christ, you have not learnt the most important lesson. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, For all the promises of God are in Him, are yes, and in Him amen unto the glory of God by us. Some refute lies based on the knowledge of Scripture. But then, like the Pharisees, when they see the bad fruit in their lives, they refuse to humble themselves and repent. Sin manifesting in your life means you do not have the victory. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 37, Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Positively confessing the word will not help you to get in Christ. Thinking you are standing in Christ will not help you either. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You are in danger of falling from the faith if you keep using your minds trying to apply the things of God. Solomon said in Proverbs 14:12, There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The leaders of many organizations do not recognize the need to make Jesus functional Lord of their lives and repent daily. If He is Lord, then He is Lord of all, and that includes us not using our minds. These leaders who say that God gave us a brain, He expects us to use it, cannot help you. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and 14, Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. It is popular to believe that you can just say a prayer and then you are righteous in Christ for the rest of your life, even if you do not produce the fruit of the Spirit. Those who start claiming verses and refute lies based on Scripture often contradict the truth that God is sending to them to bring about conviction so that they can come to repentance. If you do not produce the fruit of the Spirit, you are destined for the fire. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 19, Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The fruit of the Spirit, righteousness, and the fruit of the flesh, unrighteousness, is listed in Galatians chapter 5. If you want the right fruit, you have to submit to the Spirit. He knows the root reason why you keep sinning. He knows why you take matters into your own hands and make excuses. Obedience to the Spirit is the only way to produce the right fruit. Paul warned us against listening to empty or vain words. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." The devil wants you to be comfortable, so you hate correction and conviction and do not recognize the truth. Otherwise, you might grow up and become spiritual. So he has to make a guilted prison where you feel so comfortable so that you will not even realize that you are in a prison. He gets you to build it yourself out of all your positive confessing, trying to stop sinning. If you keep using your mind, you will fall into the snares of the evil one and believe his lies. The devil also knows how to quote the scripture too, as he did it to Jesus. Every scripture the devil quoted was a trap taken out of context. Who is telling you to quote the scripture all the time? If you are the one deciding, then the devil is the one making a fool out of you. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 6, on page 94, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Once you have dealt with the most obvious things you are doing wrong, the Holy Spirit will start exposing the things that you do wrong that you think are right. This is critical because these are the areas in which you are deceived. They are the ways that seem right. I cannot stress enough the importance of trusting the Lord as he exposes areas that you have been convicted are correct, they are actually deception and disobedience. Only the Spirit can reveal these areas, but dealing with them will produce enormous growth and rapid change. So embrace this work. Even if you do see something by your own intellect and human effort, how will you change without God's help? How can the person that is corrupted with the virus set himself free from the infection?" Jeremiah 13 and 23 says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that you be accustomed to do evil." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 7 on True Repentance, on page 106, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Every time you are convicted and repent, you remove another reason why your walk with God is not as it should be. The more you repent, the more consistent your fellowship with the Father will be. You should rejoice when you are convicted. It's a gift from God. You may be shocked to find out you are wrong when you have thought you were right. God already knows everything about the sins he is exposing, as well as all the other sins that you do not know about, and he still loves you. Do not let Satan interpret the conviction you are feeling as God being angry with you. Conviction is not punishment. It's a gift from God and a tremendous blessing. It's merely an alarm to alert you to a problem. Sufficient grace is always available to cleanse you as well as change you into the image of Christ. God knows every detail about all of your sins, and he still loves you. Conviction by the Spirit helps you identify that the message or revelation came from the right source. No conviction, then it's a warning. It's not the truth. Many foolish virgins in the body of Christ are herded by false leaders in and out of the presence of God through large gatherings with praise and worship for their own gain and popularity. They do not teach truth, the consequences of sin, or how to recognize conviction. Time is running out. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. If you encourage somebody to keep on confessing that they are more than conquerors and ignore the bad fruit based on some shallow teaching, you could cause someone to think they're okay when they're not. Passing this around, you are hindering conviction. Repent, Paul said in Colossians 2, 6, 7, and 8. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8, be aware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Positive confession does not set you free. Real repentance will set you free. Even trying to refute lies looks very noble on the outward, but with a lack of lasting spiritual fruit, you must suspect that you learned another way that seems right instead. Paul's teaching was clear. He said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Many desire freedom from the curses of sin, but they want to be still lord of their own lives. This is not possible. Christ came to save us from sin. He did that by paying the price so we could confess our sins, get in the presence by grace through faith, and abide and overcome sin by denying ourselves. Good is the enemy of the best. The best includes truth and conviction. A comfortable Christian is perishing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You cannot get to know God without denying yourself and taking up your cross. Paul said in Philippians 3 and 18, he said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. On page 68 of the book, Gilded Prison, the revised edition, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the only way to grow spiritually is for each hindrance to be exposed and removed through repentance. Revelation and conviction produces steady spiritual growth. When you understand that God's conviction is necessary for spiritual growth, you will rejoice every time your sins are revealed. And if you do not embrace this work, but resist it instead, this is another sign that you are a prisoner. I recommend you get a copy of the book, The Gilded Prison by Joseph Hedgecott. The revised edition is now available in English. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 9, on page 124, Joseph Hedgecott writes, all of the things that you repented of when you got saved were fruits of your lordship. Everything you do after you repent should be the fruits of his lordship rather than yours. Remember, Jesus should also be Lord of your repentance. The new seeds God is sowing in you may take a season before producing fruit. Different fruits take different lengths of time to mature. Be patient and do not get discouraged. If you embrace conviction and repentance as blessings and begin to pursue them daily, you will quickly begin to see changes in your attitude and actions. The more quickly you repent, the sooner you will become like Jesus. Repentance takes time, but it does not take forever. It's not a matter of just confessing your sin. When you confess your sin, you get back in Christ. Maybe you only stay a few minutes. You came out again because you started using your mind. Consulting your mind takes you to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and brings death. God said to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat," verse 7, "but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." You cannot just go from serving the devil and hearing a wrong voice to hearing God clearly in a short time. Through sanctification, you are relying on the conviction to identify the accesses and lies of the evil one. Here are some sources of conviction. Number one, conviction through reading the written word, which can lead to the living word. Number two, an anointed message from a pastor or anointed leader who is following Jesus. Number three, your spouse who is close enough to you to see any bad fruit. Number four, the Holy Spirit by denying yourself and taking up your cross. If you do not deny yourself, you will end up being deceived by your own feelings and emotions and carnal mind. God will resist you or even let you reap what you're sowing so that you come to your senses and realize you're deceived like the prodigal son in Luke's gospel. You are privileged to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Truth is rare. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading from verses 5 to 10. This is Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives." Verse 7. "If you endure the chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not?" Verse 8. "But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons." Verse 9. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Verse 10. "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." We are getting ready for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" The judgment has already started for those who are part of the body of Christ. The conviction is part of the judgment of God now when you get in Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Verse 32. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Do not resist this process of conviction, or you will end up at the last great judgment. The conviction of the Holy Spirit now is also the assurance that you will not be judged with the world and that you will have the righteousness of God Almighty by faith if you submit to the process of correction and repentance. God in his love has started the judgment early through the work of the Holy Spirit now so that you will realize, wake up, repent, and get ready for his appearance. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, on page 165, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "God looks at your motive and your thoughts before anyone else can see that you have done something wrong. He convicts you so that you can repent before you actually carry out the sin that is in your heart. God deals with you as at the root stage so that it doesn't produce a full-grown tree of disobedience." We read in Isaiah 46 and verse 10. It says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Only God is qualified to judge mankind because he knows the motive of everyone's heart. So do not keep resisting the truth. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 11, on page 160, Joseph Hedgecott writes, as an example of this principle, let me share this parable. Suppose when I was on a trip to your country in the past, someone treated me badly. At the time, I did not react, but on returning home, I began thinking about the incident. The more I thought about it, the angrier I became. Then some time later, I went back to your country again, to the same town where the incident happened. I decided that I would go to the person's home, knock on the door, and when it opened, I would punch the guy in the nose. At what point did the Holy Spirit convict me? When I punched him in the nose, or when I decided to punch him? You know, the Spirit convicted me when I purposed in my heart to sin. I thought this could not be fair because I had not punched him yet. I'm not sure about the laws of your country, but in our country, you cannot be convicted for what you are thinking. If that were true, everyone would be in jail. How can this be fair? It is fair because God sees things in fullness. It's also because God is love. And if he convicts you at the thought stage, and I repent, he forgives me, then the consequences of sin are minimal. If he does not convict me until I punch the guy in the nose, he will still forgive me if I repent, but I will probably go to jail. God convicts because he can see the end of the road that you are walking on is sin. God knows the fullness of what I'm doing. He knows if I'm sincerely following Christ or not. I am passionate about doing what he wants. I encourage people to follow Christ and be completely deny themselves and take up their cross daily. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 13, on pages 200 and 201, Joseph Hedgecott writes, a root or foundational work has to be done deeply by its very definition. This work cannot be done if your repentance is shallow and you merely want the conviction to stop. The length of time it takes for the work to be done is directly proportional to how quickly and thoroughly you repent of what a truth exposes in you. Remember, there is no higher court than God's courts. So he's always right. He balances everything and includes motive and attitude. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. The Holy Spirit is always right, and there is no appeal court in God's kingdom. Condemnation starts when you defend the lies, rather than accept the truth, because you will not deal with your own flesh. You want God to be a liar instead, which is not going to happen. Even on the day of judgment, all the evidence will be presented where you will end up if you keep defending the lie. Conviction will never stop in God's presence until we become like Christ or we die. Everything we can repent of equates to eternal gain. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 13, on page 210, Joseph Hedgecott writes, conviction and repentance play a big part in becoming spiritual, and this work should be embraced. Conviction should be processed in the presence of God. He convicts you because it's time to deal with a particular area. He does not convict you because he's angry or disappointed with you. When conviction is processed at the Holy Spirit's direction, grace should continue to flow. However, the moment you begin resisting this work, communion with God stops. God's alarm is there to warn you of eternal fire and destruction. It is a fire alarm. Conviction is not punishment. It's a gift from God and a tremendous blessing. It is merely an alarm to alert you to a problem. It does not need to keep ringing. Just acknowledge your sin. If you do not agree with God, it will sound unpleasant after a while, and you will begin to hate it, and the next time it rings, you will ignore and harden your heart so you cannot hear. Then the thief can break in again and steal everything, whatever he wants. The devil will tell you that you do not need to hear the alarm, or tell you God is angry with you. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 13, on page 211, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Christians, because they process conviction in the flesh, where the devil has access, they are not repenting and working through the issue while in the presence of God. It is God's responsibility to correct his children, and Satan should have no part in this important work. Conviction is an invitation to repent. You cannot just repent of what you want to change. If you see something, then bring it to God and ask him about it. You cannot do anything without God's grace. Conviction is also evidence that God has authorized everything for you to get to the root. You can even do all your repentance in the kingdom of God. The only safe place is abiding in Christ. You should know when you're in his presence. Doing anything outside of Christ in the flesh is consulting the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This will bring more sin and make it even more difficult to get back in Christ. The only knowledge you should seek is knowledge with conviction, because this will keep you in Christ. This knowledge is also without any guilt and condemnation. Do not even try and change yourself. Just do what God reveals through conviction by faith. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Are you double-minded when it comes to dealing with your flesh, because you do not love the truth? Do you honestly believe? Conviction is a blessing. If not, why not? Ask the Lord to show you how you respond to conviction. Do you embrace conviction and correction in some situations, but resist and unwilling to repent or get offended in other areas? Ask him to show you details and why you respond the way you do. God already knows everything about the sin he is exposing, as well as all the other sins you do not know about, and he still loves you. You need to give thanks for conviction. This is the only way you will be established in Christ. If you cannot give thanks for conviction, you are not firmly rooted in Christ. If you're handling life with just human wisdom, then you have rejected Christ as your Lord and the wisdom he offers. This is serious. You need to change your attitude to conviction. This is the key to getting ready for Christ's appearing. There is not much time left. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 13, on pages 217 to 218, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "God's motivation for conviction is love and his desire to be in fellowship with you. Conviction is the alarm to alert you that you are going the wrong direction. The moment you embrace his correction and repent, the alarm stops. God never intends you for his conviction to condemn you. He exposes what you are doing wrong so you can repent. If you resist conviction, Satan is quick to confirm that you are wrong and condemns you. He tells you that bad consequences are coming to you. He says you are a failure. And when you are overcome with guilt, you assume that God is angry with you. This seems to be true. It may appear to line up with some parts of the word, yet it is twisted by Satan to destroy you. Instead of ministering conviction that leads to repentance, Satan ministers condemnation and failure. Stop deceiving yourself. If he is not Lord, then how will you be saved? If he is your Lord, then he will save and deliver you, and he will feed you and give you the fulfilled life. You can make a fresh start right now. There is still time. If you want to have an obedient life, hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get the foundations laid in your life right from the start with a right attitude to conviction and regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on and stay on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It is signposted, heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I want to recommend to you the book, The Guilted Prison, by Joseph Hedgecock. The revised edition is now available in English. Today I've been sharing with you about conviction and repentance. I pray from this message that you desire this more than anything. You desire even for your every area to be exposed. You should have full confidence in the fact that God loves you and he is not going to treat you harshly. He is not going to try you beyond what you're able to endure. He is love. And so you need to open your heart fully and ask the Holy Spirit. Many of the failures, many of the times when you failed again and again, have come because you've ignored the conviction along the way. Satan is like a terrorist, and he comes along and tries to wear you down and get you to make small mistakes. But the Holy Spirit is faithful to alert you to these small things that are stealing your joy, stealing your peace, taking you out of that sensitive place. I believe that God is transmitting his perfect will for you right now. And if you will surrender all, if you will decide that this life is for you, ask God right now to soften your heart so that your heart again is sensitive to the Spirit, and agree ahead of time that God, when you convict me, that you are right. Father, I am praying for everyone listening to this message. As they have sincerely prayed and desired for a life of total transformation and submitting themselves to your Spirit, Father, that faith which they're expressing pleases you so much, and they are putting their full faith in you right now, that this work of sanctification is something that they are going to embrace. They're not going to fight it anymore. They're not going to resist it. They're going to seek it. They're going to seek and knock and the door be opened unto them. Father, I pray for them right now as you're working in their hearts, that you do a quick work in them as they submit totally to your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What a wonderful blessing it is to share this message with you today. Please, if you need to be in touch with the ministry, there's some contact details, and afterwards we'll have a summary of the scriptures you've heard today. God bless you. Amen.